A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Verbum Domini.
Let us go.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Verbum Domini. Let's begin by thinking of four different groups of people. I'm sure we could come up with more. And their own experience of Advent, which we begin today. The season of Advent, this preparation for our Lord's second coming, which is what the emphasis is as we begin this season. being prepared for that day that will come, but then also preparing for our Lord's first coming, which is made present to us in our liturgy, in our prayer. And there are, I'd like to just point out four different experiences of this time and this season. For many in the Western world, it can be a stressful time of trying to find the right gift for this person and that person, writing our Christmas cards, preparing for different parties, and so on. And to try to keep that focus on what this season is all about, even as we're kind of consumed with these other things that are going on, with happy memories in the past for many of us. For others, it's not so much a happy memories, or it's not such a time of just abundant joy. I received a letter last week of a man who just lost his wife and his daughter. A letter he said he wrote with tears. So this would be the first Christmas without them. And so it's going to be something where there's going to be grief mingled with the season. We could think too of Mother Angelica's own experience as she was growing up in a broken home. There were no trees. There were no gifts. It was a miserable time, as she said, as she would see other people enjoying this season, but they had nothing. And it wasn't so for her. We could think too of those who are in countries reached by this network, who it's a dangerous thing to celebrate Christmas. They could even lose their lives if they go to a Christmas Day Mass or the Midnight Mass. But that's a reality. Or those who have been displaced from their homes because of persecution. But there's an answer to all of these different experiences, those that kind of can get consumed with the stress of this time and getting the perfect gifts and the cards and the parties and those things, and those for whom it's a sad time in many ways. There's really an answer for all of these different situations. And Mother Angelica talked about that, her best Christmas. What was her best Christmas? It was when she had founded this monastery and the sisters were here. It would have been more in the early days of this monastery. And she had to be in the hospital for some reason that midnight, that Christmas day. Well, the sisters were having their midnight mass here. And so what they did is they called Mother on the telephone and they left that line open all throughout the midnight mass. So Mother's in the hospital, she's listening to the midnight mass, she's listening to the readings and the homily, the singing and all of these things through the telephone. And she called that one of the best Christmases she ever had. Why? Because after that, she's just alone. It's dark and it's quiet. And she could really focus on the true meaning of this season. Everything else had been taken away, except that liturgy that she was able to partake in. I couldn't help, of course, but think of St. Clare and her last Christmas, I believe it was, where she couldn't get to the midnight mass either. And yet the Lord made it present to her, and the child Jesus was present to her mystically. And it was a wonderful experience for her, so much so that Pope Pius XII in 1958 would make her the patroness of television. And to think of all of the people who have been blessed by these televised masses over these years because of what Mother Angelica would do and bring about, and the Lord, through his providence, would bring about through this network. But it was really a time when she could really focus, that she would often say that his own received him not. This is from the prologue of John's Gospel, chapter 1. His own received him not. And how she felt that growing up too, often being rejected, the situation at their home. And she could enter into that. She could join her own suffering, her own experience of that with him, and to be alone with him. She reflected on Mary and Joseph's experience. And so you think about this, that they are expecting a child, the one that the angel, a messenger of God, had promised would come. And they're doing all these preparations. Joseph, being a carpenter, probably made a cradle, other things that would have been helpful for a newborn child. Mary making different, garments for him. And that suddenly everything is taken away, that home birth, and now they're going to have to journey to Bethlehem with the least amount, the minimum that they can take. And so all of the disappointment of all these preparations that have been made. And yet, as Mother would say, it didn't spoil the wonder of their expectation. Why? Because their spirit was alive with the will of God. And that they were focused on him, the long-awaited one. We're hearing from the prophets like Isaiah during this season, especially Isaiah, who speaks of this one who is to come. And so they now this prophecy and these prophecies were now going to be fulfilled. And just the wonder and the awe that they felt, even in the disappointment of suddenly being uprooted from their home in Nazareth and having to make this journey with the minimum amount of that they could carry to Bethlehem. And then arriving there, there's no place for them. Having to have this birth in a cold cave with animals and none of the comforts that you might experience or want or could provide, that Joseph would have wanted to provide. And yet they wouldn't lose that focus. And Mother would ask the question, if everything that we had planned and all these things that we had wanted to do, what if they didn't come about for one reason or another? Or you suddenly lose a loved one. Well, when we're focused on his coming, it makes everything still have this radiant hope, because the one who's been promised, the one that we long for, is coming. And so it is for us to prepare our hearts now for his coming, whether he will come in glory during our lifetime, or we will come to encounter him at the end of our lives, to be prepared to stay awake. And so to prepare the manger of our hearts, that it's going to be a place where he wants to come. What is the gift, Mother would say, that he wants the most? And so we give gifts at birthdays, and one time she had asked a little boy, now if it was your birthday and I gave a gift to your sister instead of you, would that be the right? No, he said. Well, she said, we want to give a gift to Jesus. It's his birthday. So what is the gift that he most wants? He wants our hearts. That's what he wants. He wants a heaven on earth in our hearts to welcome him. And so I'd like to give you three ways to prepare our hearts for his coming, to give him the gift that he really wants, the gift that's given with love, the love of our hearts. The first thing is to clean it out. I grew up on a farm, as I've often related, and I cleaned out a lot of barns and pens. the dairy barn, the pig pen, and the chicken coop. And I think the chicken coop was the worst of all those things. It was never a pleasant task, but it had to be done. These places had to be cleaned out, so it would just keep piling up and piling up. Well, you know something, there's something that stinks worse, and that's sin. And there's even saints who had that experience of people who were living a sinful life and unrepentant life, and they even were kind of appalled by the odor that they spiritually experienced. And so the first thing we want to do is clean out that manger, clean out our hearts, make a good confession. We friars, we often help out at parishes around here during the Advent season. It's a season of returning to the Lord. He will return in glory. And conversion really is about returning to Him, returning toward Him, our look toward Him, our direction toward Him, going toward Him. And so cleaning out that heart, making a good and sincere confession, can be the first step, really, in preparing this manger of our hearts for His coming anew. And you know, these events are not just something that we remember that happened 2,000 years ago. They're made present to us. They're mystically made present to us, these events, and all the graces and all that the Lord accomplished is made present to us, and we benefit from it. So that's the first element. The second part is, now that it's often believed that it was really in the cold of night, in the middle of the night, and it was piercing cold. There's a prayer that I'm going to refer to that refers to that piercing cold of that night. And so we want our hearts to be a warm place for the Lord to come. Well, how do we make our hearts a warm place for Him to come? By prayer, by the warmth of devotion, of loving, longing, and seeking for the Lord. So I always like on November 30th to relate a real event that happened in my own family. And today is also the feast of Saint Andrew the Apostle. And there's a traditional prayer that's prayed from today, November 30th, until Christmas Day. And the whole focus of this prayer, I think, is just a beautiful, powerful prayer, is on the incarnation, the most awesome moment in human history when God became man and dwelt among us, and focusing on that and the merits of Jesus Christ, who was born for us, the merits of His mother who received Him and gave birth to Him. And so this prayer, and you can find this on ewtn.com/Christmas. If you scroll down on the tab, the resources tab, you'll find devotions. And this prayer is in there. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of His blessed Mother. Amen. So to see how this prayer can be a prayer that helps us to warm our hearts and to really stir up that longing and that sense of the reality of what took place when God became man, and by the merits of that coming and of His mother, I'm asking you for this particular intention that I have. You know, I was reflecting on this morning about why this experience happened in my family to my great-great uncle Andy Hemmer in Dubuque, Iowa. I was reflecting on it, perhaps it was because I can tell the story, because his great-great-nephew could tell the story, and many people could hear the story. So the story is my great-great-uncle Andy Hemmer, the brother of my great-grandmother, who I knew. She lived to be 94, and I knew Andy as well. So it was his feast day. But I had mentioned this prayer, and he would listen to the Mass. He couldn't see. His right eye was completely blind, and his left eye, he could just dimly kind of make out figures. He could make his way around the house. But he was really upset because he loved to write people and he loved to read their letters. And so when he heard me talk about this prayer, he asked me to send him a copy, which I did. This was in the early days of my priesthood. And when he got that prayer, he prayed it all day long. He really wanted his sight. And what happened that midnight on Christmas Eve, is that in the middle of the night, in that hour, in that moment, he has this terrible pain in his right eye and is completely healed. And he wrote me two letters. Here are the two letters I still have that he typed up about what happened. One was in April, and then one was later in October. And he said that he continued to pray this prayer, and his left eye had improved as well, and he was so grateful, and people are asking for this prayer. And he wrote that the doctors were stunned because he had been declared legally blind. Later, his son, Paul Hemmer, wrote to me and said, you know, thank you, because I sent him copies of these letters. And that story said, thank you for reminding me of it. I forgot about this just wonderful miracle. Because that Christmas day, he could hardly hold himself together at the family meal that they had that day. He was just so overwhelmed by this great grace that he had received. And why was it this great grace that he received? Because of the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in piercing cold in Bethlehem. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayers and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and his blessed Mother. Amen. So that first part that I encourage all of us to do, clean out the heart, the manger of our heart. Make it warm through prayer. It can be this prayer, it could be other prayers that you want to offer during this time. So it's a warm place, full of warmth, the warmth of your love for him, your longing for him. And then the last thing I would say is that to share this with others. You know, there's a beautiful scene in the 2006 film, The Nativity Story. And in this scene, the child Jesus has been born. And the shepherds come because the angels had told them about this child that would be found lying in a manger. And they come, and one of the shepherds, he sees Mary with the child Jesus, and he wants to touch it. So badly he wants to touch the child, but then he realizes, no, I shouldn't do that, and he pulls back. And Mary holds the child Jesus, and she said, he was born for all mankind. So then he doesn't fear, because Mary encourages him. And he touches that child that he has so longed for. So that we can share this with others too, in our charity, in our kindness. You see, whatever our experience is during this season of Advent, what makes it beautiful, whatever our circumstances are, is that he comes. He comes anew. And that if we focus on that reality and that truth, then everything else is secondary. It's all secondary. He came to unite himself to all mankind, but he also came to unite himself personally to you.